Love and tough love. You know, sometimes people have difficulty telling the difference. We're going to take this from a little different approach. It's always good for you to know what pleases the Father and what pleases the Son. For if you please them, you're doing real good. They're going to bring blessings your way. There is a Greek word that is used mostly by Christ himself. It usually is translated into the English will, W-I-L-L, his will. But it's a little different from the stem. And Christ just, he cut right to the quick and went to the prime. Thelo, T-H-E-L-O. And heavy on the L, thelo. And what it means is my choice, my delight, my chosen. So when the word will is used, I think it kind of comes up lacking when it means my choice, my delight, and meaning he loves you. And this is what he would love for you to do, expressively. So it makes a considerable difference, and we'll be coming across that word occasionally when Christ tells you what he wants from you. That you let all other things go and you listen to him, the word, and listen carefully and be pleasing unto him. The word fellow can also mean compassion. And is a word that Christ uses quite often, more so than anyone else, because it's his desire that you do the things we're about to partake of. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the great book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 9. And we're going to pick a few of these places that are pleasing unto our Father. And through the Son, of course, Emmanuel, God with us. So, thelo, usually translated will, is his will toward you, and we will read it in that sense. Okay, chapter 9, let's pick it up with verse 10. Okay, verse 10, and it reads, this would be Jesus and his ministry. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Oh, you know, now a holy Joe doesn't like that. If you're a holy Joe, you got to be careful who you touch, or it might throw you off kilter. You might lose everything. Always remember, God sent us here as a witness to the world. You have to witness to those that need it, not those that already have it. Okay, that will be the principle of this teaching. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? With a lot of these politicians and these sinners. Why does he eat with them? 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. In other words, you have to go where you're needed to please God. Now, that is to say, if you're a teacher of the Word, all right? This is why it is so easy in this generation that we have broadcasts of all different types. We can go around the world, and it's up to God to have that person pick up on it. But never play Holy Joe, okay? That's goody, goody, two-shoes. If someone comes to you asking a truth, give it to them, share it, or God will strip it away from you. Now, that is not to say that you are to place yourself in endangerment. You know, you're too wise for that. But keep in control and never play one-upmanship with someone. You know, maybe you didn't always know everything either, okay? Maybe someone helped you. Verse 12, and when Jesus, verse 13. Here's the instruction, listen carefully. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will, selu. It is my desire, it is my choice. That's what Jesus is saying. Not just will, it's his choice, it's his desire that you have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. In other words, if you're self-righteous, you don't really feel like you need help, right? That's the implication, because these were people that felt they were of the law, by the law, and for the law, and so forth. I won't say any more about it than that. But what did Christ say? He said, go learn this. Now, that's important. It is my choice that you go learn what this means. And of course, he's drawing from, you don't have to turn here, I'm only going to read one verse, Hosea 6:6. Listen carefully. Hosea 6:6. For this is where he said, go learn this. For, and Hosea means salvation in the Hebrew tongue, and it means the wife of Hosea. He said, go marry a harlot. It meant to help the Israel and others back to the truth. But it is written here, for I desired mercy. Mercy in the Hebrew tongue is chesed, chesed. And it means love, to compassion, in a kindly way. I'll repeat it. Mercy that he wanted you to learn means love and kind in a kind way. Okay. He said, that's what I want from you. I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and there's more to it, right? The word and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. The knowledge of God does what for you? It delivers you. It makes you successful. It shows you a path that you're going to succeed on. If you follow that path, you show that love and that compassion when it applies and to what degree. And it's called love. That's what he wants from you. It is his desire. It is his choice. He doesn't want burnt offerings. He didn't even in the beginning. It's just that inasmuch as that is our school teacher, meaning the Old Testament, somebody had to give up something that cost them a little something. Well, it would seem that many times people think love cost them something. It's the greatest power in the world is love. To love with understanding, trusting, obeying him. That's what you derive from the Word of God. Theos. That is my will, my choice from you, is that you learn of this love. Because that's what I want. Not a bunch of burnt animals. But it all came down to this. Now, returning to, I hope you got your place on chapter 9. I didn't, but I'm right back there. So that's what he wanted them to go learn. And the word will there, I just don't think the translation quite cuts it. You have to read, as it did in the Old Testament, desire, my choice, and so forth. That is what he wants from you. And if you want to please him, let him know you love him. And this is the Son, coming from the mouth of the Son, who is Emmanuel, which is to say, God with us. We could do another study on Zelo from God's desires for you, and maybe someday we will. Verse 14. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? Well, and again, the bridegroom was there with them. It wasn't a time for fasting, but a time for feasting when Christ walked the earth. Seeking what? Seeking love, compassion. It also means to prefer. And he prefers you when you let him know that you love him. That's what he wants from you. Very difficult for some to understand, but and to really be quiet. It's so simple. But Christ's teachings are always simple when we take it back to the language in which he spoke. Turn on over to the 12th chapter. 12th chapter of Matthew, verse 6, Christ again is teaching. These words come from his mouth. And this is when he and the disciples were walking in a cornfield. It was the Sabbath, and they were hungry. And they saw them picking. You don't pick corn on the Sabbath if you are a legalist, okay? You just don't do it, even if they were eating it. You're supposed to honor and respect the day, not the Lord. Okay? That's their teaching, not mine. Okay? Let me make that very clear. Never, as it is written in Colossians 2, worship the day. You're supposed to worship Christ. Why? We might as well get this out of the way. Hebrews chapter 4, don't turn there. You can make a note if you like. Christ became our Sabbath. What does the Sabbath mean? Rest. You're not going to find rest anywhere but in Christ, and bless your heart, you better have Him with you every day. You better let Him know you love Him every day. That's what pleases Him, and that's what brings forth blessings. Okay? So they're picking corn because they're hungry, and you are familiar with the story, so we'll pick it up in verse 6. Of chapter 12, the great book of Matthew. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple, meaning David went into the temple and he ate of the shewbread. Okay? Why? Well, it was through David that this one Messiah would come. Priests work every day. Got that? Okay? Many people would say the priests dishonor the Sabbath because priests have to work. Somebody's got to. Okay? Verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will, Thelos, Thelo, there it is again, I, being my choice, being delight, what I really want from you, have mercy. That's to say, love and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. If you had known this, in other words, those old boys picking that corn because they were hungry were guiltless. There was no sin. 8, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. He was the Sabbath. He was with us. Never get caught up in holy days or holidays. What happened when Joshua was in a terrible battle? If it got dark, he might lose. God did what? He extended the day. A divine intervention whereby we would have the victory. And as it is written in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you are children of what? The day. The light. You're never in darkness. Why? You have Him. You have Him in your life. And it is an extended day in Christ, our Sabbath, until we have the victory, and bless your hearts, we are going to have it. We're going to defeat Satan, anyone that chooses to go with him, and we will have that victory. Verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. In other words, it was basically paralyzed, okay? And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? Now, did they ask him for a good reason? No. They asked him to see if they could trip him up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are, and I hope you're intelligent enough that you can grasp it when it happens. There are people that will argue, wish to argue Bible with you for no other reason than to try to trip you up. Okay? You got that? None of you have ever had that happen? Oh. Interesting. All right? So beware. Okay? Stay way ahead of the game. That's why, as he said back in Hosea 6:6, the knowledge of the Lord. What is it? This word. Be familiar with it. All right? They wanted to trip him up. They wanted to accuse him. What was his answer? 11. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Well, you bet, that's money. That's my crop. That's my best. And it's strange that sheep, being a clean animal that is fit for sacrifice, okay, brought into this, okay. Then he says in 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. I don't want you to ever forget that. That's from the mouth of Jesus Christ. It is lawful to do well. It didn't say bad. Didn't say fish, necessarily, unless it's for men. It didn't say honky-tonk. It said it is good to do well, illegal to do well on the Sabbath. Why? Christ is the rest. He gives you license. Christ is our Sabbath. He said if a good opportunity comes along, do it. It is legal in God's eyes. I'm not saying this as a side trip to upset legalists. I have no problem if they want, that's their thing. Hey, have to it. It's a free country, you know, and you can do whatever you want. It's all right with me. But I'd rather stick to the truth and have God's blessings, because we must be pleasing to Him, because it is from Him that all blessings flow. And if you want blessings, you don't ever want to forget that, all right? It's very important. And, you know, He makes it so very, very simple for us to know that we're made in His image. He has feelings and emotions just like we do. And I think it's wonderful when He uses the word fellow to show us His emotions. I want your love. You are my choice. And he could even add, I need you if you will help me. Will help me, okay? If you're not going to help him, well, I'm not going to speak for him, that he wants you, all right? But if you're going to love and show forth that love, reflect it. He is the light and we're a reflector. And I hope that you reflect that good light that causes people to say, you mean to tell me you're a Christian? And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes people think it gets more difficult to be a Christian every day. Only if you let it get to. Don't let them see you sweat on your first cruise, all right? We've got so many different religions and cults and sects in this world today that with different beliefs, even as we know, some believe it's all right to kill innocent civilians. Well, I don't know where that religion came from other than the pits of hell, okay? And certainly not a healthy thing. So be Christian. Make no apologies for it. That means a Christ man, a follower of Christ. That's what the word Christian means. What does he want from you? So simple. He wants your love. He wants you to understand his word. And he wants you to act upon it as it fits your particular life and profession. Okay, and let's go, if we may, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Christ has just given a proverb, which Peter's going to call it a parable, be that as it may, on what Christ expects at his return. He said, if you're my servant, if you love me, you're going to be watching. You're going to be watching for some fake, all right, and says that you're not deceived, but you're going to be looking also for the signs that announce the second advent, his return. And he had just given several instances of that. We're going to pick it up in verse 41. That is the subject. You'll pick up on it. You're all familiar with it. Verse 41 reads, "After he had finished, Peter said unto him," Luke chapter 12, 41, "Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, the disciples, or even to all? Is it for everyone?" 42. "And the Lord said, Who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season?" Now, I'm going to tell you something. What is the meat from the Father? It's the truth. It's understanding of the Word. It is to have knowledge, to be able to see into the manuscripts, to be able to understand the emotions of Almighty Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, how to be pleasing unto them. And if you do that, this is your season. He gives you that meat now. It is meat that gives you strength, that sticks to your ribs. It's not pablum. It's not baby milk. It's after you've learned how to change your own... not baby food. Okay. It's for those that are potty trained already, all right, that are ready to get into a little depth in God's Word, rather than hear salvation, baptism, which are beautiful. But you need to know more, okay? You can receive that meat at any time you please Him. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." What are you supposed to be doing when the Lord comes? Searching for that meat, doing what with it? 44, "Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." Those of you that are familiar with the millennium chapters, chapter 44, these dach, a Hebrew word that means his elect, are given no land as an allotment because God is their allotment. Chapter 44, the great book of Ezekiel. Okay, long about verse 25, 26, 27, 28, somewhere along in there. You don't get a land allotment because God is your allotment and He owns everything. So it means wherever you stand at that time, not coveting by any means, but caring for, showing that compassion, that choice that is pleasing to Almighty God. Your documentation again to understand that particular verse. It's verse 44, chapter 44, Ezekiel. That'll help you remember. Verse 45. "But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming," been just like this since the beginning of the time, "and shall begin to beat the men servants and maid servants," and maidens rather, "and to eat and drink and to be drunken." In other words, to forget about the Word of God and begin to make your own little kingdom. That's when you head for trouble. Okay, what happens to you? 46. "The Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him." Why? You're supposed to be a watchman. "And at an hour," that's the hour of temptation, "when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers." You're just out. That's why you want to be a watchman. You want to be pleasing to God. Does that mean any of us that we got to be perfect? No. That's why we have repentance. Back to basics again, okay? Repent when you fall short. Get back into understanding. And he said, "I expect you to hold." You know something? His word as to the chronological order of events as they transpire in this end generation, if you don't follow it, you're going to be deceived. That's why he will treat them as unbelievers. Verse 47. "And that servant which knew his Lord's will," now this is from the stem, but it's not the same word. It's not God's will, the Lord's will. "And prepared not himself," didn't know what God wanted from him. neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. That means severely. Even if they accepted the Lord and, yes, I'll be saved. I know how to spell Jesus. I couldn't yesterday, but today I do. I'll be a Christian. But they don't live it. Okay? That doesn't please him. Why? He wants your love delivered to him for a reason. For the many promises he made to you if you comply, because you're his child. You're his kinsman. And he loves you for that. And he expects that love in return. Okay? Now we come to tough love here, okay? This is where, do you think Christ didn't practice tough love? How hard do you think it is to tell one of your children, I'm going to treat you like an outsider if you don't line up? Basically, that's what's being said here, understand? Love, but Jesus practices tough love. Do you know why? Tough love will save a soul from hell when mercy won't. Okay. When kesed, that loving kindness, when it won't do it, you got to get tough in love. And if you love someone, you don't just let them go off necessarily as long as they're asking questions. You give them truth. And sometimes that's kind of, they're going to get stripes, okay? Verse 48. And he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. If he's ignorant, never had a chance. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. In other words, they're going to ask you for more instruction. If you have been given a lot of truth, people are going to ask you for more instruction. Be willing and able to give it if it is asked for. Don't overload somebody's donkey, though, okay? That's not right. God holds accountable. He knows minds. God is always fair. And this is why it is written that judgment begins at the pulpit. And it should. And if you teach, if you set your sights as a teacher, you better be willing to answer for everything you teach, because you're going to. You can fall out of his love quicker than anyone else. Why? Because he expects more. And he expects you to take his word and to share it. But that's fair. Or as we might say today, that's even. Okay. That is even. He holds everybody accountable for what they know and understand. Please don't ever make the mistake, as I have known one or two that did, say, well, as long as I stay ignorant, I'm not accountable. I don't try it. Don't even think it. Because he will get you big time. All right? He does not... That's what he calls laziness. And oh, does he not like lazy people? He just doesn't have time for them. They're his children and he loves them, but he sure doesn't. Do you know what he likens them to in Proverbs? And I'm sure you've heard me say it before. He calls them door hinges. He said, they're just like a hinge to a door, only they're hinged to a mattress. I'll roll this way a while. This side's getting tired. I'll flop the other way. Should be out there hoeing corn, but here I am, flopping from one side to the other, fastened to this bed. What good are you? Your mattress is crying out, get off of me. Okay. Give me a break. Well, anyway, God is fair. He knows what your capabilities are. Don't let him down, okay? Verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will, here's our word, what will I if it be kindled already, if it be already kindled? In other words, that word will, again, it just, it doesn't cut it, fellow. It's to choose, to prefer, and to delight in. He delights in you when you start that fire. That's tough love, friend. We're speaking spiritually. You understand? You understand that he didn't mean you to go out and start a campfire or something like that, okay? He means that you ignite someone's soul to truth. That at the same time, when it comes to the false Christ coming first, you don't be shy about it. You let people know if it's people that are attuned and have ears to hear and eyes to see. Never become a fanatic and make a fool out of yourself and lose your credibility, or then don't even try. Always protect your credibility. Let people know you know what you're talking of, what you're speaking of. And our Father will bless you. Okay? He said, I'll be so pleased and so delighted if I find that fire already kindled. The word world here, cosmos, means the world system. If it's wrong, don't be afraid to knock it. Okay? And if it is a wrong thing that someone is presenting to you, don't be afraid to bring them around to the true fire, which is the light, which is to say Jesus Christ. All right? Don't ever hide your candle, light, fire, under a basket. He gave it to you as a steward to spend. That is to say, share, so that others could know. All right? So here's our Lord practicing tough love. And it continues with tough love. 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? I want to get it over with. I want to get this done. He's looking forward to that second advent himself. 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth. Well, wait a minute. I thought he was the Prince of Peace. Boy, is he. But there's got to be, hey, in this world where Satan's in control, there's got to be some attitude adjustments before we can have peace, and real love brings that to pass. I tell ye, nay, but rather division. I come, instead of peace, I'm going to create division. Now, that is not to say, beloved, you that have eyes to see and ears to hear and know the truth, you have a peace in your heart that no one can touch. You have a peace within your soul that no one can shake. But there are a lot of people in this world that have not found that peace. And they're not going to until they accept He that is the true Prince of Peace, that is to say, Yeshua, His delight, His love, His understanding. 52. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three. I'm going to tell you, a lot of you families, the whole family sees the truth. You are so blessed. You just cannot understand how blessed you are if your whole family can discuss the Bible openly with you without flying off the handle, without getting upset. And kinship is a wonderful thing. You are the adult. I don't care what your age. When you receive truth, you become that adult. And you are, as it is sometimes translated, perfect. It's mature. And you can be patient with people that don't have the truth. So when these divisions come, sometimes it is better to set it aside. And if it is a division where harm could come to pass, then you need to make a note of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and handle it in that wise if it's a family member. Okay? God has told us all things on how to be happy, but how to also practice tough love. He wants that love from you. There was one case where even Paul himself was teaching, and an old boy was practicing incest. God, with an adult, and I won't go into it past that, and God says, hey, let him go to the devil so he can be saved. In other mean words, stop working with him, let him go all the way to the bottom of the gutter where all he can see is up. And finally, maybe he'll come to his senses. I'll withdraw all of my blessings. That isn't written, but that's what's implied. Until he gets so down that maybe he'll begin to look up and see light. God knows how to practice tough love. So never be afraid to utilize tough love when you know you're right. It's hard. You know what? It hurts you worse than it does somebody else sometimes. So therefore, with family, sometimes it's best if they cannot, if there is a mental block there, God put the spirit of slumber on some whereby they can't hear the truth. Romans chapter 11, verses 4 through 6. If God placed it over them, you're not going to remove it, I guarantee you. So if it be a sister, then be a sister. Don't be a teacher of God's word to them because they're blinded. So you have to be mature and utilize common sense. That also is love. Okay? That also is love. And he appreciates that. He expects you to do his work in part. That you're able to do. To receive his love and his blessings. Verse 53. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother, and the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Of course, most of you know when this is coming to pass, don't you? It's when the false Messiah appears, and their particular church says, Jesus has come back. And you say, no, that's not him. And that father or mother runs to Jesus, who they think is Jesus. And says, my little sister out here is a good old girl. Don't be mean to her. Please help me bring her to you in salvation. So they turn you into the Antichrist. All in well-meaning thinking. In other words, as it's written in Mark 13, a mother will deliver a daughter up to death. Well, Satan is death. That's his name. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. That it being his name. And so they deliver you up before him, and that, of course, is when God witnesses through you. You know when that trouble happens primarily, but in a sense, it is there today in teaching, in sharing, in understanding. Use wisdom, all right? Use great wisdom. Verse 54. And he said also to the people, when you see a cloud rise out of the west, straightway, immediately, you say, there cometh a shower, and so it is. I mean, you can tell by looking when a rain cloud's coming in. 55, and when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be heat, and it cometh to pass. And of course, it would be blowing right off the desert, and that's a pretty sure thing. You hypocrites, you're supposed to be watchmen, understand? You hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky of the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? How is it that you cannot see the chronological order of events that Christ wants you to see about these? Because the subject is the second advent. You got that? Okay. Go back to verse 37 if you want to document it. Verse 57 to complete. Yea, and why even of yourselves judge ye not what is right? Everybody should want to do what's right. You know, I don't care whether it's your business, it's your daily life, as long as you do what's right, your business is going to prosper. Why? You did somebody right. That's the best advertising. You can spend big bucks on advertising, but when you do somebody right, they don't forget that. They'll be back in your family. When you do it right, to the best of your ability, it brings peace to the family. And that is love, is to do what is right. It's called righteousness. And that's what your Father wants from you. Now, I want to take this word one time to the negative to show you the teachings of Christ, how that there are people that where fellow is used. Wish it very much in a negative sense. Open your Bibles to chapter 8, the great book of St. John with me. Again, the teachings of Christ. But this time it will be done in a negative, or used in a negative way, which means sharpen up, okay? Chapter 8, St. John, verse 42. You're all familiar with this. Among the scribes and Pharisees, where there were many Kenites of that time that called themselves of our brother Judah, came forward. The reason they're the sons of Cain will be obvious here in a moment. Therefore, the Hebrew word Kenite, as it is used in the Old Testament. In the negative sense, verse 42, and Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. I mean, after all, that's what he wants. So, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. 44, here's where the word will come up. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. Here's the word. Thelu. It means it is your desire. It is your choice. It is your pleasure to do the will of the devil. Now, this is not to say that it cannot be accepted into Christianity. If he loves the Father, he becomes a son of God instead of a son of the devil. Okay, but there are people in the world, and that's what Jesus is talking about, that it is their desire, their pleasure, and their choice. They prefer, that's what the word means, prefer, to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. I wonder how many of you know what the first murderer was. Well, let me see. Well, it was Cain, wasn't it? That's what I said. Kenite means sons of Cain in the Hebrew tongue. That's the words of Jesus. You don't like it? Then lump it. That's what it says. And abode not in the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh of a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. 45, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. A lot of people don't like the truth. That's to their regret and sorrow. They will receive many stripes because of ignorance. 46, which of you convinceth me of sin? He says, I can sure nail your hide. But you can't me. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Now, many would say, well, I thought God loved everybody. He does. He loved Satan at one time when he was the cherub that protected the mercy seat. But he forfeited that, as it is written in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19, until God condemned him to turn to ashes from within after the judgment. So we have this negative in the world. That's why things happen as they do. It is written, it shall come to pass exactly as it is written. All you have to do is watch as a watchman should, then log it and check it off. As it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. God simplifies everything for us. There is if anyone should doubt who the children of, who was the father of Cain, then you've never read Matthew 13, beginning with verse 35, where Christ again declares that the devil was the father of their seed. Seed in the Greek is sperma. Okay, in conclusion, this will be the last chapter we're going to, 17th chapter of St. John. You'll all remember it because it's Christ's prayer to the Father. This is the real, this is Jesus' real prayer. Okay, a lot of people, in Matthew 6, he was just teaching us how to pray. Here he is actually praying to the Father. And it will be his last prayer, and we are to learn from it. Let's pick it up in verse 14 as he continues. He's telling the Father, I know it's the last time. Verse 14, John 17. I have given them thy word, meaning those that would listen. And the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, cosmos, even as I am not of the world. That may make you understand better sometimes why those that live in the ways of the world might be a little different than you are. Why that we have rap and a few of these filthy, dirty songs that are played as though it's a melody and there's no melody to it as far as God's word is concerned. God is even cursed in them, as well as any authority. That's not in all of them, but in some. You know what I'm talking about. 15. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Well, why wouldn't he want you out of the world? Because you've got work to do. You're a missionary in life to teach truth, to share a morsel to a starving person that needs truth. You do understand what the famine for is in the last days. The famine in the last days, as it is written in Amos chapter 8, verse 13 or 15, which is it's not for bread. Anybody can get bread, all you got to do is work. But the famine is for hearing the word of God taught accurately. That's scripture. That's the way it is. It is written. So it is. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. God does not consider his elect through the Son as of the world. You don't have worldly ways, do you? I don't think so. Not to the extent that some do. 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. That's what strengthens you, dear one, is to become familiar with the Word of God. That makes you prosperous. That gives you blessings. That brings you even health because you eat God's way. It is complete. It is total. 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Did you know you're on a mission if you be one of God's elect? I sent them. They're predestined to that degree, those that are of election. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified through the truth at the advent. Okay? Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Through their word. Have you done it? He said, this is what I want them to do. I want other people to prosper through their word. Meaning, I want them to repeat the word I have given them, which is truth. And I expect them to share that word with others. Have you done that? I'm sure all of you have. In other words, that receives a blessing from God. You got it? When you obey Him, you receive blessings. Again, I'm not trying to propagate any bunch of religious fanatics. Always use common sense. There is a time for planting, there is a time for cultivating, and there's a time for watering, and there's a time for reaping. Be able to discern and practice it. 21. That they all may be one, as one body in Christ, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Are you? That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When you see the miracles and the success, you know it's of God. You know, isn't it wonderful that we have the largest television ministry in the world? I said the largest television ministry in the world. No, that's a well-kept secret. And you know something? We never have to beg. Have you ever thought about that? Do you know why? Because God blesses it. That is the truth. Only God's word is taught on it, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Sometimes chosen topics to bring forth love, understanding, our personal relationship with Him. He said, you keep doing that so people will know I'm for real. When a minister receives a blessing like that, it's real. Okay. It's from God. Does that mean all the people that work there are perfect? Woo! I don't think so. We all mess up occasionally, don't we? Some more than others. And, well, are you accusing? No, I'm thinking about myself. Okay. But God loves someone that gets up when he's down and keeps trying. All right. I'm going to tell you how to be successful. Always finish what you're doing. Don't quit. Well, sometimes I get impatient. Then suffer. Okay. Don't quit till you get it done. All right. I got me a new mower yesterday. It's really fancy. It goes under fences. It even knows when there's a post there, and it swivels back and goes around the post and, boy, right back under that post. And yesterday was the big day. I got my little tractor out, and I got everything all fixed up, and I attached that new mower to trail along behind. And I put it all together, read the instructions, believe it or not, and I got out the instructions on the engine. And I thought, I really don't have to read those. I'm a pretty good mechanic. Let me see. It says something here about the choke. There ain't no choke. But it does have a little bulb, you know, that you stroke a couple of three times, you know. And then it doesn't even tell you which is open and closed on the throttle. And I thought, well, always, always, you go this way to open the throttle on a small engine. Do you know what? On this one, you don't. That's the kill stop. So it said open her wide open. I opened her wide open, and I pulled, and I pulled, and I pulled. But honest to God, there wasn't any instructions, not even on the motor. About which was, and pretty soon I thought, I'm going to give it half throttle. So, you know, at least I won't be on the kill stop if that's what I'm doing. Pulled her back half and it went, pop. I thought, And I pulled it all the way back to where idle would normally be and that sucker took off. I mean, but see, sometimes we have to learn the hard way. I could have quit because it was hot, and I'm usually working in air conditioning, you know, and pulling on a 6-horse motor, you know, I didn't buy the electric start. I'm kind of conservative, okay? But aren't you glad to hear about this? Really. But I could have just give up, quit, and went and called the serviceman, but I wanted to fix it. So don't quit until you're successful. And then, after I got it running, I shut it off and put it in transport and went up to my wooden rail fences and just did a beautiful job. Wonderful. Gets it done, okay? Don't quit. Keep going. You know, that's the way you succeed. All right? Back to, I think we were at, let's pick it up with 22, whatever. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. You got yours? That they may be one, even as we are one. We're one in Christ, beloved. There's no other word but his word. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect. That means mature in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. When you're successful, well, I always thought Christians were supposed to be poor. They're not supposed to be rich with thievery. There's nothing wrong with being rich with God's blessings. You understand? There is a difference. It's people that are rich with ill-gotten gain that's got to unload their camel, okay, before they're going to make it into heaven or through the needle gate. But, hey, Jesus wasn't a pauper. And his uncle, Joseph of Arimathea, had 10 mines in Europe. They still sing songs in Glastonbury about that. So, if God has sent you and you work hard, you'll Be successful, and that's good. 24. Here's our word. Father, I will. I delight in. I prefer that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I don't know, were you there? Was God created all the sons, and as it's written in both the great book of Job and in the book of and in the chapter of wisdom and the great book of Proverbs. 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. 26. To complete. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Let that love, it's not presumptuous. It's real. It's simple. It means we are one body in Him. And He delights in you. It gives Him great pleasure when you're pleased and when you help Him. Did you note in that 17th chapter in his last prayer, he said, I sent them? You know, you want to think about that real good. A little reading on that might be Romans chapter 8, following verse 26, when he said there, Father, they don't even know what to pray for, but I do, and I'll guide them, because they're predestined. So there's a little more to it when the Spirit touches your heart with that love, and when you're in obedience to Him. How He loves you when you love Him. What does He want from you? Your love. And absorbing the letter that He has written you. Absorb it. Grow with it. Mature. Be blessed and be happy. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Father, for the written word. Thank You, Father, so very much for Your love. For the fact that that's what You want from us, not burnt animals, not something else, but our love sacrificially given to You, Father, as we ask for Your blessings in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
The Book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad.